The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechet Yuma, Daf Tesom and Beis, tells us Migdash Rishain Bibne Machorab, the first Beis HaMikdash, why was it destroyed? Bibne Gimel Dvorim, because of three things Shehoyu Bei that took place then. Aveidah Zorah, Gilui Arayis, Ushvichas Domim. There were acts of idolatry, acts of immorality and incest, and Shvichas Domim, acts of bloodshed. And then the Gemara goes on to explain, how do we know this? Then the Gemara tells us, Aval Migdush Sheni, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Shehoyu Bekim Bay, that we know that they were Eiskim Beteru Bemitzvis Ubigmilis Chasodim, but during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, that we see that they were asukin, that they were occupied with Torah and mitzvahs and gemilas chesed and acts of kindliness. Mipnei machorav. So why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei shohei sabai sinas chinam. Because there was hatred for no valid reason between man and his fellow man. The lam decho comes to teach you. Sheshkula sinus chinam keneged shleish averis aveidah zorah gilui arayis ushvichas domim. We learn from here that the avera of sinus chinam, of unwarranted hatred, is equal to the three most severe averis in the Torah: those of idolatry, incense and immorality, and the spilling of innocent blood. Then the Gemara tells us, Rishenim shenizgalo aveinom nizgalo kotsu. During the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, it was revealed as to what the Aveira was. So it was also revealed kotsom. It was revealed for how long they would go into Golus for. How long would they be exiled? Rashi tells us, lo hi machasin pishehem, they did not conceal their acts. So therefore nizgalo kotsom. Said that after 70 years I will bring you back. But during the second Beis HaMikdash, that what they did was concealed. Openly, they were a tzaddikim, they were righteous people. The sinas chinam, the hatred, was in their hearts, and therefore it was concealed. Lei nizgale kotsum. So therefore also HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal to us for how long the golus, the exile, will be. And therefore the first exile that was for 70 years, it was prophesied for how long it will be and when we would return to Eretz Yisrael. But the second exile was not prophesied to us, and we still do not know when it will cease. The Chofetz Chaim Zochein Livrocha in his famous Sefer Chofetz Chaim writes in his Akdoma that this that the Gemara means that the transgression of the second Beis HaMikdash was that of sinas chinam, of hatred between one man and another. This means together with the chait of Loshon Hora. The fact that they spoke evil one to the other about another person. Tell them to come in. Just wait a minute. Writes in his Akdoma, this that the Gemara says, that the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash was because of Sinas Chinam, unwarranted hatred between man and his fellow man. It means Sinas Chinam together with Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when one speaks badly about his friend to a third party. And he goes on to prove this point from many Gemaras and many other sources in the sages. And what the Gemara means, that there was unwarranted hatred. This is what led to the speaking of the Lashon Hara, one against the other. So in fact, what the Gemara is telling us then, that we know that there are three cardinal averas in the Torah. And these three averas, a person is obligated to give his life for. All of the mitzvahs of the Torah, v'chai b'hem v'leishi omos b'hem. You must live by and not die by. But when it comes to idolatry or incest and immorality or the spilling of innocent blood, then a Jew must give his life before transgressing these averas. And these were the three averas which seemed to be rampant during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, and this is what caused its destruction. Still, the Golus, the exile, was merely for 70 years. Second Beis Hamikdash, the Avera seems to be an Avera which is a much less serious Avera. There was hatred between Jews. There was Lashon Hara between Jews. Yet the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the Golus went on for thousands of years. They die in Lo Posko, and it still has not ceased. And the Gemara says, from here we learn that this Avera of Lashon Hara is equal to the other three. Really, we find that this Avera was not only a source for the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, but is a source for all of the Churbanis, all of the destructions, and all of the exiles from Israel. Because the Torah tells us in a parasha not long ago, in Parsha Shlach, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent out Meraglim, he sent out scouts to spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael. And they came back, and they were Vayetzia Dibas Oretz Asher Torah also al Bnei Yisrael. This is in Bamidbar Yud Gimel. They slandered the land of Israel, and they said that it's a terrible land, it's an awful land, it's a land that will consume us. We will not be able to conquer it or settle it, and we should turn back to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Torah tells us, "Vatiso kolo edo vayitnu es kelon," that the entire congregation that night lifted up their voices and cried and wept. "Vayivku ha'om ba'laylo ahu," and they wept on that night. The Gemara in Masechta Erechin explains to us that it was because of this episode of the Meraglim that the final decree was sealed, that this generation that came out of Egypt would not enter into Eretz Yisrael, but they would die in the desert together with all of the children that were over 20 years old. Shekein motzinu, the Mishnah tells us, shelein ischaten gzardin ala veisenu bamidbar, that we find that it was only through here that the final decree was sealed. And what caused it? Aloshen hora. Because the chet, the aveira of the meraglim, of the scouts, was that of loshen hora, of slander. And the Gemara says, how do we know this? Because it states, ki heitzi shem ra, excuse me, because it states, vayomusu ha'anoshim meitzia dibas ha'oretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought death to those that brought slander to Eretz Yisrael, al dibas ha'oretz sheheitzio. Vayomusu ha'anoshim meitzia dibas ha'oretz ra, al dibas ha'oretz sheheitzio. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this punishment to them was because of the slander that they brought to Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps one would say, this only refers to slander in Eretz Yisrael. How do we know it refers to other slander? So that the Gemara says just to the contrary. Tan Yomer Blezer Ben Parto, Baiver E Kama Godel Keach Shaloshen Hora, Minolad Mimaraglim. Blezer said, from here we can learn how great this Avera is. Huma Meitzi Shemra La Eitzim Bavonim Kach. That if they only slandered sticks and stone, slandered the land, and this was the reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then someone that will slander another human being, how much more so? So we see that the final decree, which caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to seal the fate of the generation that came out of Egypt, was the act of the Meraglim. The act of the Meraglim was caused by Loshen Hora. And this caused that entire generation, with the exception of Kalev ben Yefune and Yeshua ben Nun, and the exception of all of the women that did not listen to them, but they wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, this caused them all to die in the desert. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainus something which has great ramifications. Gemara and Daf Chof Tes tells us that night when the Meraglim came back and gave the report, it was Lil Tisha B'Av, the night of Tisha B'Av. And on that night, the Torah tells us, Vayivku Balaylo Ahu, that they cried on that night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinom, you are weeping for no reason whatsoever. Omar Rabbo, Omar Rabbi Yechanon. Rabbo said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, Eise laila lil tes b'ov. This was the eve of Tishu B'Av. The Gemara goes through a whole calculation that when they were sent out to spy out the land, this was on Rish Chedesh Tammuz. They stayed in the land for 40 days. So when they returned, it was Tes B'Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinom, you are weeping not for a valid reason. There is nothing to fear. I will give you the land. V'ani keveya lachem b'chiyah lederes. I, therefore, will set this night aside for you, where it will be a night of weeping for generations. You have made this night, which is a good night, into a night of mourning. Therefore, I will take this night, I will take this night and make it a night of mourning and weeping for generations. And it's for this reason that the Mishnah tells us, and of Chavovam and Beis, Hei Dvorim, five things took place on Tes B'Av, on Tisha B'Av. Nigzar al Avaseinu shele yichnasu l'oretz. There was the decree that our father should not enter into Eretz Yisrael. Chorav Abayis B'Rishayna. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Ubishniya, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. V'nilkado Beitar. Beitar, which was a city of great multitudes of Jews, was captured. V'nechre Shoha'ir. And the city of Yerushalayim was plowed under. This all took place on Tes B'Av, and it all had its source in the fact that on that night they wept. In the Maral Prague, in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, says something with very great depth and insight, that had it not been for this evening, then Klal Yisrael would never have been exiled from Eretz Yisrael. And there never would have been a Churban HaBayis, a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Israel a Geula, that they would be redeemed from Egypt. What does it mean to be redeemed from Egypt? To be taken out of Egypt, Lamus Bamidbar, to die in the desert? The redemption meant a Yetzias Mitzrayim, an exodus from Egypt, and a Bias HaOretz, and a bringing into Eretz Yisrael. And this is what the Torah tells us explicitly. In Parshas Va'era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the people, the L'Sheinu Shel Geula, all of the different expressions of redemption. This is in Shmeis, V'lachein Emol Ivnei Yisrael, go and tell the sons of Israel, Ani Hashem, I am your God, V'yitzeisi eschem mitach hasiv leis Mitzrayim, I shall take you out from the yoke of Egypt, V'yitzalti eschem me'aveidosom, I shall free you from the slavery, V'go'alti eschem b'zerei anetuyi v'shvotim g'dayli, I will redeem you with a altshtarim and with great judgments, V'lokachti eschem lila'om, and I will take you to myself for an age. I shall be your God. I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, that I have sworn to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And I shall give to you for inheritance forever. So according to the promise and to the divine plan, Klal Yisrael was supposed to be taken out of Egypt and brought into Eretz Yisrael. And they were supposed to be taken out of Egypt in the same manner and the same dimension, and brought into Eretz Yisrael in this manner and dimension. And we find not like that. We find there was a Geula, there was a redemption, Shvotim Gedolim, great judgments, Yad Ramah, with great miracles, an outstretched arm. But we find that when they went into Eretz Yisrael, this was not the case. The Torah does not tell us of these great miracles and the great judgments. And on this, the Maral explains that it was this bechia, this weeping, hifsiko inyan, that interrupted, disrupted the entire plan. The Geula Shleima, the complete redemption, ended there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forced to decree that the generation that came out of Egypt will not enter Eretz Yisrael, and they will die in the Midbar. A new generation will go. But this new generation that would go, this was already at a different dimension. This was not at the dimension of Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Exodus. And that's why we find that when they did go into Eretz Yisrael, under the leadership of Yeshua ben Nun, it was not with the great miracles and the great judgments and the open hand of the Almighty that took them out of Egypt. It was a different dimension. Yetzias Mitzrayim lechud u'bias Eretz Yisrael lechud. Going out of Egypt was one dimension, the coming into Eretz Yisrael was another dimension. And it was only because of this that they were able to be exiled from their land. Had they entered the land in the same plan and dimension that they went out of Egypt, then just like it would have been impossible forever for them to return to the slavery of Egypt, Avodahem, Amzuko Niso, these are my servants and not servants of other servants, this is my nation, so it would have been impossible for them to be exiled from their land. But because this picture, this plan was disrupted, therefore later exiles were possible. So when we examine this, we find that not only was this Avera the cause, the direct cause of the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, but it was through this Avera that every exile and every destruction of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael was possible. Because this was the cause of the hate of the Meraglim. The Chofetz Chaim, Zocheinu Berocho, writes that one thinks, a person is accustomed to giving thought, how long will we remain in the Golus? How long will we remain in exile with all of the Tzoros? When will it come to an end? Can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem us? Can't He bring us back to Eretz Yisrael? And he writes that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot. Yeshayahu, Kapitel Nun Test, stated, Heinle Kotzri Yad Hashem, Meheshio, Lekovra Oznoi Mishmaya, Ki Ima Venesecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu lacks the ability to bring us back. But to the contrary, the fault is in our own. And he adds that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Avtzareches, that they asked Eliyahu, when will the Mashiach come? And the answer was, Im bekeili sishmu. When you will listen to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chazal explained that the original exile was decreed for 1,000 years, equal to that of one day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu equals 1,000 years. And the Chofetz Chaim writes that im bekeili sishmon, if we would listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this would have the power to cancel the decree, which means that even within 1,000 years, that it could be a geula, a redemption. But he writes, it's long after the 1,000 years. In his time, it was already 800 years past the 1,000 years. So then certainly, it is time, there could be time for the geula. And it is the exile that causes for us all of our tzoros. Begashmius uberuchnius. Physically and spiritually. brings from the great Reb Chaim Vital that a person has Ramach Evorim, the Gemara says, in Shasar Gidim, 248 limbs and 365 tendons and muscles and nerves physically, and spiritually also a person is built this way. And just like a person must have physical nourishment for his physical body, he must have spiritual nourishment for his spiritual entity. And these are the mitzvahs. And we are not able to fulfill all the mitzvahs today, because there are many, many mitzvahs that can be fulfilled only in Eretz Yisrael, when all of Israel is there, and when we have a Beis Hamikdash. So the fact that we are in exile does not only deteriorate the physical entity of Klal Yisrael, but it deteriorates the spiritual entity also. So for how long will it last? So he says that it's very obvious that when we fulfill the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then immediately we would be returned. But if the transgression which caused the destruction is still rampant between us, then how can one expect that the Geula should come? Who's speaking, he says, about other mitzvahs? But Loshon Hara and Sinas Chinam, a dying hasotan merakid b'foneinu, is still rampant. And if this is what caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed when it was standing, so how can we expect the Shechina to return to Eretz Yisrael under such a situation? And a similar foundation is explained by the Maral and the Gemara in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara says, "Kol mi shiyesh beidas ki ilu nivne beis hamikdash biyomav." That whoever has in himself the das haTorah, the knowledge of Hashem, it says, if the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt during his days. He explains what is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this world, he wanted a place for his Shekhinah. He brought his Shekhinah to the place where he chose, on Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. And this became the meeting points of the two worlds, the physical world and the spiritual world, of this world and of an upper world. Like we see many times, Yerushalayim Shalmato, Yerushalayim Shalmalo. There's a Yerushalayim here, there's a Yerushalayim there. Beis HaMikdash Shalmato, Beis HaMikdash Shalmalo. There's a Beis HaMikdash on this earth, there's a Beis HaMikdash in the upper worlds. And when Yaakov Avinu was fleeing from his brother Esav, he came to the place of the Beis HaMikdash and he slept there. And he dreamt of Sulam Mutzav Arzo, Vereshe Magia Shomaimo, that there was a ladder which its foundation was on the land and the head went into the heavens. He said, this is the gateway to heaven. He had foreseen that this place would be the chibur, the connection between the two worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take his Shekhinah, his presence, and find a place for it in this world. So what then is Beis HaMikdash? It is something which is physical. It is made from Eitzim V'Avonim, it is made from stone and from wood. But it becomes a home for the Shechinas Hashem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Er Beis Elokim. This is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shara Shomayim, and it is the gate of heaven. Rashi brings there, we see that the Beis HaMikdash of the upper world is directly over the Beis HaMikdash of this world. The Maral explains that a man also is a Beis HaMikdash. Because the Torah tells us, "Ma'itzar Adam min ha'ofer," man was created from the dust of the earth, also physical. "Va'yipach ba'apov nishmaskay," HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a nishama, part of himself. So man also became a physical home on this world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He joined the two worlds. This is the creation of man. And if man brings impurities to himself, and he brings ruination to himself, then he drives the Shekhinah away. And this causes Churban Beis HaMikdash. This causes a destruction to the Beis HaMikdash. Because every move and every act of man has an influence on the Beis HaMikdash. Because all of Israel are one. They are joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are joined to the Torah. They are all one. But if man purifies himself and he brings into himself the knowledge of Torah and he grows in mitzvahs, then he is building his own Beis HaMikdash, and in turn he is building the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim. Therefore the Gemara tells us, "Kol mi sheyesh beidas," whoever has in himself the Das HaTorah, the knowledge of Hashem, ki ilu nivna Beis HaMikdash biyomav. It's as if he has built the Beis HaMikdash in his day. So then what the Chofetz Chaim is saying, that if it was this Aveira, Loshon Hara and Sinus Chinam, that drove out the Shekhinah from the Beis HaMikdash and brought it to its destruction, how can it be rebuilt if we are still so close to this Aveira? We could go even further, and we find the truth of the matter, that this Aveira had a history before the Meragli. This goes back to the creation of the world. In Bereishis Beis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam v'Chava, the first man and the first woman, and he placed them in Gan Eden, and he told them, "Vayetzav Hashem Elokim, Elokim ala Adam le'mor, mikol etz hagan ochol techel, that you may eat from all of the trees of the garden, u'me'etz hadas tevaro le'seichal mimenu, but you should not eat from the tree of knowledge. Because on the day that you eat from it, you shall die." The serpent was the cleverest of all of the animals, all of the animals of the field. And he came to the woman, and he said, "Are you allowed to eat from the trees?" And she told him what the Almighty commanded. And he said, "No, you will not die. Because The reason why the Almighty commanded you that you shall not eat from this tree is because if you do, your eyes will be opened. And then you will be equal to the Almighty. And you will know good and bad. Rashi tells us, Kol umin seine es b'nei umnosei. Mino eitz ochal ubora esa olam. Bring it from the Medrash. What did the serpent say? Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell you that you shouldn't eat from this tree because there's something wrong with it. HaKodesh Baruch Hu told you that you shouldn't eat from this tree because he ate from the tree and through this he created the world. And he does not want you to be on equal level with himself. This is why he commanded that you should not eat the tree from the tree. So the serpent was Maitzi Dibo. He slandered the Almighty. The Almighty wanted to protect Adam v'Chava by not eating from the tree. He slandered the intentions of the Almighty. What was the result? The results were terrible. Vayemer Hashem Elokim el Anochosh. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the serpent, Ki osisa zos, because you did this, Oru aton mikol habehemah mikol chayos hasodeh. You shall be cursed from all of the animals and all of the wildlife of the field. The serpent was the greatest beast, the greatest creation that existed next to man and woman. He was the king of all of the wildlife. He possessed an intellect. He stood on 2 feet. He was tall. He walked like a king. Kodesh Baruch Hu cut off his feet. Not only you shall not be their king, but you shall be cursed from all. And you shall crawl on your belly. And you should eat dust all of your life. Eva oshis beinecho veino isho. Hatred there will be between you and between woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall try to crush your head and you shall try to bite his heel. And then to the woman, you shall have all types of hardships when you give birth and you rear your children. And you shall go towards your husband and he shall rule you. Ula odom omar ki shomate lekol ishtecho v'techel mino eis asher tzivisicho arura ha'adoma b'avurecho. And to man, because you did this, the land shall be cursed. All of the days of your life, you shall eat only with great hardship. Thorns will come up when you plant. You shall eat the grass of the land. Through the sweat of your brow, you shall eat your bread until you return to the land. Ki mimenu lukochto, to the land which you were taken from. Had they not eaten from the tree, they would have lived forever. But now that you ate from this tree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you cannot eat from the tree of life, and you will not live forever, but you will return to the land which you were taken from. So we see that this Aveira of Loshon Hara brought Churban to the world. Next, the Torah tells us, Vayishalcheihu Hashem Elokim Gan Eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayigoresh Es Odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chased man and woman out of the garden, out of the garden. It brought death to the world. It brought curses to the serpent. The woman was cursed. The man was cursed. The land was cursed. And the ramifications from this Aveira are part and parcel of our everyday life. So we see that not only did it have its source by the Bayis Sheni, or not only by the Meraglim, but at the very creation of the world, it was the first chet, the very first Aveiro committed. And this is why it is known as the chet of the Nochesh HaKadmoni. The Loshon Hara is the transgression of the first of the original serpent. Because of this, the Gemara in Erechin tells us, Misha Mesapel Loshon Hara, Magdal Avenis Keneged Gimel Averis. Someone who speaks Loshon Hara, he should realize that this act is as severe as the Gimel Averis, as the three cardinal transgressions of the Torah. Averis Zorah, Gila Rai, Shvichas Domim, idolatry, and incest and immorality, and the spilling of innocent blood. And the Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos, Perek Zayin. In one sentence he says, Afal Pishe in Leikin al Dover Zer, that even though the Beis Din does not have authority to give any corporal punishment for this Aveira, Oven Godelhu, this is a very great Aveira, Vegerim Lahareg Nefoshis Rabbis Bi Israel. And through this act, this causes lives of Israel to be killed, to be lost. And the Chofetz Chaim makes a calculation that someone who speaks Loshon Hara, there's a possibility that he can be over, no less than 17 negative commandments of the Torah, 14 positive commandments of the Torah. And he brings himself under four curses which are mentioned in the Torah. This is something which is phenomenal. 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and he makes himself liable to four curses of the Torah. And then he makes another cheshbon. He says, this is when someone speaks Loshon Hara. What about if a person constantly speaks it? So what will the sum total be in a day? What will it be in a week, in a month, in a year, in a lifetime? And what about the collective transgressions of Klal Yisrael? And not only that, where he brings from the Zayir HaKodesh, that since this is a chet ha-dibur, this is a transgression with the mouth, so therefore it brings impurity to the mouth, besides to the entire person, but in particular to the mouth of the person. And therefore he brings from the Zayir HaKodesh that all of a person's tefillos, his prayers, and his divrei Torah, and his learning of Torah that he does with his mouth, is rejected by the Almighty. And Ketegen Ases Neged cannot come to HaKodesh Baruch Hu and bring him Torah, or bring him prayers, supplications, that we should be returned to Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Just like a Kohen cannot bless the people if his hands are full of blood, so a person cannot come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if his mouth is full of the impurities that come from this chet, the chet adibur. Something notable, oyum, this is something which is of tremendous ramification. And it was because of this, the Chofetz Chaim, who was the greatest sage of his generation, lived in the last century, died 50, 60 years ago, committed his entire life to try to teach the people of this Aveira. And he wrote an entire Shulchan Aruch called the Chofetz Chaim, which later he became known by that name, where he felt that this was the prime this deserved the prime attention and energies of Klal Yisrael. We have people that at the drop of a hat they're ready to speak Lashon Hara. In St. Louis, the Rav there, the great Rav, Zacheinu Livracha, used to tell me that people are ready to malign, destroying a person's reputation. There can be nothing worse than this. They're ready to malign an individual or a sheikhet or another rabbi. You couldn't understand it because they felt lacked a degree in kashrus. Here we're talking about Averas that have destroyed entire worlds. And this is common day practice in every facet. And then the Chofetz Chaim goes in to try to understand why is it, if this is such an Avera, so severe, why do we find that people are not serious when it comes to this? It becomes a joke to people, he says. You even have people, they say, let's sit down, we'll speak a little Lashon Hara, we'll gossip a little, we'll slander this one, we'll ridicule this one, we'll criticize this one, we'll malign this one. And he says this is something you find not only amongst the unlearned, but amongst the learned also. So he writes, perhaps in regards to the unlearned, they don't know. They don't know its severity. He says there the answer must be, because since there are times when one is permitted to speak Lashon Hara, for example, to save someone else from an impending damage, let's say if a man hired another man and this man happens to be a ganav, he happens to be a gangster or a crook, and he will damage this other person, then it's a mitzvah to go and to reveal this. Since there are times when one is allowed or it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara. So through the Eitzah of the Satan, of the Yetzer Hara, through the cleverness, the cunningness of the Yetzer Hara, it keeps driving a person with heteri, mori heteri. That this you can speak, this is a mitzvah, this you're allowed to. The Chazal tell us that the Yetzer Hara is strongest by the greatest Averas. So therefore here it would be the greatest. Therefore this is what drives a person. There could be another reason also perhaps. Because since this was the chait of the Nochosh, of the original serpent, and as we will see later on, there's a great affinity between this Avera and the serpent. And the Gemara tells us, Hitl Zuhama Bechava, that when the serpent persuaded Chava to eat from the tree, not only did he cause her to commit an Avera, but a whole new dimension came to the world. A taruvus of Tevara. Before that, the world was at one level. As we see, they lived in Gan Eden. They would have lived forever. The earth wasn't cursed. After the Avera, the world dropped to a much lower level. And there became a great confusion of good and evil. Before that, the world was very orderly. There was good in its perfection and evil. The serpent, by seducing Chava to to this Aveira, put forth his impurity into Chava forever and into her seed, to the point where the entire world now became a confusion of good and evil. And since the essence of the serpent of this Aveira was through Lashon Hara, it could be that this Aveira is very, very close to us, which makes it very difficult to want to separate himself from it, because this went into man and remained there. The Gemara in Masechta Erechim and the Tezvav on the base Gemara brings Bimarova Amri Loshen Tlisoi. Bimarova in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say that the Loshen, the tongue, is threefold. Kotel Tlisoi. It can kill three people. Hayrig le'aimbrei, it kills the one who speaks the Loshon Hara. Ula mekabloi, and the one who receives it, the recipient. Ula aimrei alav, and the one that who it is said about. The one who speaks Loshon Hara, he's a guilty party. The one who accepts it, you listen to it, but you don't accept it, then you're not guilty. But if it makes an impression on you, then you're also guilty. And the one who is said about, he's the victim. So it kills three people. Therefore, they would say that the tongue is threefold. Omer b'chama b'chanino. Chama b'chanino said, "My dixiv moves b'chayim b'yad loshen." Shlema HaMelech said in Mishlei, Perek Yud Ches. Shlema HaMelech said. Hamoves v'hachaim, hachaim v'hamoves, life and death is in the hand of the tongue. V'ayhaveha yechlu pirya. And those who love the tongue will eat from its fruits. They will either eat from the fruits of life, or they will eat kolilo from the fruits of death. So the Gemara asks, hachaim v'hamoves biyad haloshen, v'chi yesh. Yad Loshon. What does it mean in the hand of the tongue? Does the tongue have a hand? To teach you ma yad memisa af loshon memisa. Just like the hand can kill, so can the tongue kill. I ma yad eda memisa la besomach lo af loshon eda memisa la besomach lo. Perhaps you will say that the hand can only kill something which is close to him. He has to be able to strike out. So therefore the tongue also. Tam alemar chetz shochut lishenon. Posuk in Yirmiyahu, Chetz Shochut L'Sheinom. The tongue is like a drawn back arrow that can go afar. So the tongue can kill even far away. Then the Gemara says, Ima Chetz Ad Arboim V'Chamishim Amo Af Loshen Ad Arboim V'Chamishim Amo. Would we say the tongue is like an arrow and therefore it's also limited? An arrow can go 40 or 50 amos, 100 feet, but not further. Talmud Leima Shesuba Shomayim Pihem Ulusheinom Tahaleich Ba'oritz. Mora brings a posuk from Tehillim that a person can be standing on the earth and his speech can have an effect in the heavens. There's no limit. Then the Gemara says, So why then must the Torah tell me that it's like an arrow? The kotul kechetz, it can kill as speedily as an arrow can. Arrow goes with a great swiftness. It's a bullet. So the tongue also can kill with the swiftness of a bullet, of an arrow. V'chi me'achet d'chsiv chet shochur l'sheinam moviz v'chaim v'yad loshen l'amali. So if I know all of this from the other psukim, so what did Shlomo HaMelech have to tell me that there is death in the hand of the tongue? I already know this from the other psukim. L'kid rova, like rova. The Omar rova, the boy chaim b'lishnei, the boy misa b'lishnei. Those who want life, they can find it in their tongue. Rashi says they can learn Torah with their tongue. Those who want death can also find it in their tongue. So Rashi says they can use their tongue for a Loshon Hara, for Divrei Letzones, for scoffing, for Divrei Nevolais, for talk which is not nice. This is the Gemara. This that the Gemara said, that in Eretz Yisrael they would say the tongue is threefold, and therefore it kills three. So Rashi says, why is it threefold? He says, because the one who says something about another person that he heard from a first person, he's the third link in the chain. He carries a tail, he's a tail bearer. Carries a tail from one to the other, he's the third link. Tesis brings another reason. The Gemara previously said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the tongue was so powerful that one gate would not be sufficient to guard it. So he created two gates for it. He created a gate of flesh, which is the lips, and he created a gate of bone, which are the teeth, in order to guard the tongue. So therefore the tongue is the third behind the front two. This is why it is known as threefold. The moral in this Sefer Nesiv HaSeilam, in Nesiv HaLoshen in the beginning and in other parts, tells us some very great depth as to just what is the tongue, the power of the speech, which gives us an insight as to why we see there are such severe consequences and ramifications in all times of the world. We find in many places that the tongue is associated with tilsoi, threefold. Like we mentioned, it kills three. It's the third link in the tail bearing. It's the third chamber of the mouth. We found also the Gemara that we mentioned. Magdal Avedis Keneged Gilur Aish, Avedis Or Gilur Aish Pichadon. It's equal to the three cardinal Avedis of the Torah. The reason for this is man, when he was created with three divisions, three portions. Vayitzar Adam Mina Ofer, he was created from the dust of the earth. And this is his guf, his physical body. There is this physical division. He was given a nefesh. He was imbued with a life where he lives, he breathes, he moves. This is his nefesh. And he was given a seichel, an intellect, and a neshama, a soul. These are the three parts of man. The greatest deterioration of man, of the intellect of man, the greatest ruination comes through the chet of Aveda Zora, through the Aveda of idolatry. This is the cardinal Aveda which man can fulfill with his mind and with his spirit. And therefore he was commanded that he must give his life before doing so. The greatest kilkul, deterioration and ruination, that can come to the nefesh o'odom, to the life which he was imbued with, is that of taking another life. Because the motivation for a murder comes from the emotions. A person is motivated to kill either because of COVID, he wants honor, or because of kino, he is jealous, or because of nikoma, revenge, or kas, anger, or sino, hatred. This is what motivates man to destroy another life. And therefore this is the chet ha-nefesh. This is the ultimate in the ruination in the life that a person was imbued with. Therefore he was commanded to give his own life before doing so. And the ultimate sin of the physical body of man is that of acts of immorality and incest. These are drives that come from the physical man. And therefore he was commanded to give his life before committing such avedas. These are the three divisions of man. But man was given another dimension. And that was when all three of these divisions were put together in one unit, he became another entity. And this is what the Torah tells us in Bereishis Beis. Vayitzar Adam, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adama. Kodesh Baruch Hu formed man from the dust of the earth. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blew into his nostrils the soul. Vayihi Adam lenefesh chayo. And what was the result? The result was that he became a nefesh chayo. He became a living soul. What is that? So Rashi brings from the Targum Unkelis, L'ruach memalalo. He became a speaker. After all of this, man became a speaker. And our sages always refer to man as the medaber, the one who speaks. There's the stone, which is the dumb and the silent one. There is the tzemeach, the plant. This they refer to as the entity that can grow. There is the balchai, the lives of the field. Man is referred to as the medaber, the ruach memalalo, the speaker. What is meant by this? What is meant by this, the Maral explains, the perfection of the creation of man reveals itself through his power of speech. Because the secret of this power, which no other creation possesses, and which is the most ingenious and phenomenal power that was given to man, is intertwined with every portion of man. It is physical. A person, if he does not have a tongue or a mouth, cannot speak. It is bound to the nefesh, to the life of man. And it is intellectual and even spiritual. I once had the occasion to speak to a great speech specialist. He was world renowned. Which he told me that the power of speech is perhaps the most concealed power which man has, which we know very little about. He said, we used to think that it was intellectual. Now we find out that it's highly emotional. Many speech problems in children do not have to do with the mind. They have to do with emotions. And we don't know exactly what initiates the speech process. We know it's physical, he told me. And we know it's united with very, very deep parts of the brain that we do not have much knowledge about. And we know it's connected with the entire nervous system. And still remains much of a mystery to man. In some ways, the Maral writes, it's even greater than the Keach HaSeichel, than the intellect of man. Even though the intellectual part of man is his greatest, his brain. But the brain is purely in a world of concealment. A person's thoughts are to himself. They have not been yetzer min hakeach el apael. They are seeds. They have not been brought out into this world. A man thinks that this remains with himself. What are the expressions of his thoughts? His physical movements, his hands, his feet, the way he walks, his actions. So the only way that the intellect can be expressed is through physical means. The dibur, the power of speech, can express man's thoughts in a different realm, because speech is not physical. Words are not physical. But there is the spiritual element in this also. And this is the Shleimus HaOdom. This is the perfection of man. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu molded him from the soil, and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a soul, then the sum total, the result, his perfection came that he was able to utilize all of these powers and express all of these powers through speaking. Therefore he was known as Nefesh Chayo, Ruach Mamalo, one who could speak. And therefore the Maral says we can understand why, if someone commits an Aveira with the speech, it's equal to Givarai Shvichas Don Aveiras Ora. It's equal to the three cardinal Aveiras. Because the other Aveiras are only committed with a faction of man. This is committed with all of man. And then we can understand why it is known to be, it was called threefold. Because, well, all powers of man are linked directly to one portion of man. The tongue is linked to all three portions of man. And he teaches that one should not think that speech is something of a physical element or something which is limited to the physical world. There is a phenomenal power in man's speech which is far beyond the confines of this world. There is a spiritual power in man's speech. And this is what the Gemara is teaching us when it tells us, and it tells us three things. It says that speech can destroy, not like a hand, something which is close to the person, and not even like an arrow, which is limited to perhaps 100 feet, but all the way to the heavens. That's one thing the Gemara says. Secondly, it can destroy with the speed of an arrow. And thirdly, that life and death is beheld in the tongue. Now what is Shleima telling us? That through your tongue, a person can be killed. This is something we know. We know that if you go tell a wicked king or a wicked government or a murderer, you tell him something through this, you can cause his death. We don't need Shlema HaMelech, Hechocha Mikol Odom, King Solomon, the wisest of all men, to tell us this. But the Gemara is teaching that the tongue is not physical. The words are not physical. A hand is physical, and therefore it's confined to a physical space. An arrow is physical, therefore it's also confined. But the tongue, which gives fruits to the words, these are not physical. And therefore they can go all the way to the heavens, and they can kill. They are not physical, and thereby consume time. But they go with the speed of a bullet of an arrow. And hachaim v'hamoves biyad haloshon, life and death is beheld in the tongue. The essence of the tongue has a power of life, and the essence of the tongue has a power of death. Not that it can cause life or it can cause death, but the essence of speech, in it is life and in it is death, depending how a person will use it. And therefore it destroys three people. It will destroy the speaker, the recipient, and the one who it is spoken about. Not because through indirect actions destruction will come, but if it's used in a manner of death, it will destroy all of those who come near it, all of those who are involved. And as we see through the periods of history, we can illustrate this a little clearer from another Gemara in Masechet Erechin. That the Gemara says, it brings a pasuk from Kehelas, also from Shlema HaMelech. Omar Eish Lokish May Dechsiv Im Yoshuch Hanochosh Belei Lachash Ve'en Yistoin Lebal Haloshon. The serpent will bite without any desire. Ve'en Yistoin Lebal Haloshon. But the evil tongue is no better. What does this mean? L'osin lovi miskapsis kol achayis. In the world to come, when everything will be clarified and we will not have the confusion of this world, all of the Chazal tell us a parable, all of the chayis, all of the beasts of the field will come and they will encircle the serpent. And they will ask him a question. Ari deiris ve'echel zeiv teiri ve'echel. The lion destroys to eat. The wolf tears to eat. Ator mano yeshlecho. But you, why do you destroy? No animal will attack a person or another animal unless it's for self-defense. But otherwise, no animal will attack and destroy except for some type of gain, for some type of consumption. If you'll ever notice that many animals will stay together. If you go to a water hole, you'll find buffalo and you'll find birds and you'll find deer. They're eating together. Did you ever see a snake amongst them? People will be at home with many animals, but not with snakes. And this goes from the first curse that he had, Oru. Mikola behemoth and mikola chayas, you are cursed. But why do animals and other beings stay away from him? Because he will attack and he will destroy for no reason whatsoever. So all of the wildlife will come to him and they will ask him, why is it? Why do you have such a nature? Why are you different than everyone in the world? Every creation, you are a deviation from the norm. And he will answer a very clever answer. He says, What does the evil tongue have over me? I'm not a deviation from the norm. This you find also by man. If man will eat something that he's not supposed to eat, it's because there's some gain in it. If he will steal, if he will touch something that's not his, there's some gain. If he will kill, he's killing for honor. He's killing for revenge. He has his cheshbeinus. But the tongue constantly kills. For what reason? Where is his gain? Why are you asking me? Go ask man. So we see that in this way, the tongue is equal to the serpent. And because of this, the serpent was known as the essence of Ra, the essence of evil. When someone does evil, but he's motivated by other motives, it's evil, but it's not the ultimate. But if something, someone or something does evil for no motivations, then this is the essence of evil. And this was the essence of the serpent. And this was the zuhamo. This was the poison. A spiritual poison that he placed into the seed of all man, of all mankind. Person should realize that when he's speaking Lashon Hara and he has this desire where he wants to speak Lashon Hara, even though there's no tangible desire, this is the serpent, this is the eris, the poison of the serpent that's in man. And that's why the serpent said, and this is a deviation from the norm of the world, but the serpent says, I'm not the only deviation, go to the Bnei Odom and you'll find the same thing there. And just like the essence of evil can be found in the tongue because of its tremendous dimension, the essence of good also can be found in the tongue. This is what Shlomo HaMelech in his wisdom said, "Hachayim b'hamoves diat haloshon," that both life and death is found in the tongue. And those who love the tongue shall eat from its fruits, whichever fruits he chooses. And just like the serpent was exiled from the community of mankind and the community of all creations, we see that wherever the serpent walks, no one else walks. Where he rests, no one else rests. So was the Baal HaLoshon, the one who spoke Loshon Hara, also was exiled. This, the Torah tells us, because through Loshon Hara, the plague of Tzaras, the plague similar to leprosy, was brought on a person. And when a person became contaminated with this, he had to go out of all of the camps of Israel. Any other Aveira, Torah teaches us, did not expel a person from all of the camps of Israel. Perhaps he could not come into the camp where the Oren or the Mishkan was kept. He'd go to the second camp. If he couldn't come into the second camp, he would go to the third camp. But the Tumah, the impurity which came from Loshon Hara, exiled him from all of the camps. This is an inheritance from the serpent. And the Chazal teach us why. Because this destroyed the unity of Klal Yisrael. Other Averus are Averus, but they do not destroy the unity of Klal Yisrael. The destructive fruits of the tongue, Hu Hivdil Bein Ish LeIshtei Bein Ish LeChaverei, separates man from his fellow man. Let him go out completely from the camp of Israel. From here we can understand why the serpent was exiled, while the earth was cursed,
Adam and Chava were exiled. And the Beis HaMikdash was brought in ruins and Klal Yisrael was exiled. These are words which one must contemplate very carefully, as the Chofetz Chaim writes. Because how can there be a kibbutz kognis, an ingathering of the exiles? How can there be a binyan Eretz Yisrael, a rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael, a binyan Beis HaMikdash, a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, when the very cause that brought Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael into ruins, into exile, is still rampant amongst us? And one must remember that the tongue is not a liability, Cholila. It is the greatest asset. It is the perfection of man. I've heard from many Gedolim that either saw the Chofetz Chaim themselves, or they heard from those who saw the Chofetz Chaim, that one would think, after all that the Chofetz Chaim wrote, he was a person who wouldn't speak. Yet at every social gathering, or gathering of whatever it might be, he was the Reish HaMadabrim, he spoke the most. He would always speak. He knew that HaChayim V'Hamoves B'Yad HaLoshon. Just like there are fruits of death in the tongue, there are also fruits of life in the tongue. The greatest mitzvahs of the Torah can be fulfilled with the tongue. Like the Gemara tells us, someone who speaks Loshon Hara, what should he do to for tshuva? Let him yasek the Torah. Let him learn Torah. Speak divrei Torah with his mouth. Because Loshon Hara is movis, is death. And Torah is life. Shneamar etz chayim hi lemachazikim bo. It is a tree of life to those who support it. And this will bring his purification. May we be zeicher to improve ourselves in this very important area, and be zeicher to see the fruits of life come from the tongues of Israel, and where we will see b'mheirah v'yomeinu the ingatherings of the exiles and binyan Beis HaMikdash b'mheirah v'yomeinu. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.